since the beginning of the year, we've been focusing on the cross and how that impacts our life. We've looked at the attributes of God. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, and all the rest of those. And we're looking at what an authentic follower of Christ looks like. And for the last this will be the fifth week, we've been looking at God's Word. We need to believe it. We need to know it. We need to trust it. We need to obey it. And today, we need to share it, if you've been paying attention. And so, I'm going to go to God's Word in a minute or two or a half. And we're going to see what it says about communicating God's Word. And if it's important, and if it applies to everyone. Because it does. But will everyone apply it to themselves? Because I think that's where the truth is in the pudding. So before we go too much further, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I pray that there would be no distractions and that we would be focused on your word. Empower me to deliver this message simply and clearly, that it would be heard, and most importantly, Lord, taken from this place and put into practice. So thanks for using this time to mold us and shape us into the people you want us to be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I know, because I have seen them, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Romans chapter 10 this morning. So we'll flip to those pages. I'm going to read verses 13 through 21. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one in whom they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Verse 16. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice had gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Romans 10 reveals that there is a process to coming to salvation. We find here in verses 13 through 15 an order in which it comes about. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you called on the name of the Lord? Before we go too much further, you need to know and understand the fact that even calling on the name of the Lord that you just professed that you have done is a work of God. When we call on Jesus, we begin to realize our need of Him. Does anybody need Jesus today? We have to understand that we're not in control of our lives the way we think we are. And then what happens is we begin to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to Him. That's all of Him. He does the renewing from the inside out. This process begins with intellectual knowledge, which comes about by the reading and hearing of God's Word. It comes about because God has instilled in us, through the work of the Holy Spirit, knowledge. And what happens is we come to personal belief in that knowledge. Do you believe God's Word? Do you believe He's going before you? Do you believe that no harm will come to you? Do you believe you can pick up snakes and they won't harm you? You're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, read the Old Testament. It's a really cool read. Personal belief says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. Is that your mantra? Is that what you say? I stand on the word of the God. I won't go to the right or to the left. The natural byproduct of having intellectual knowledge and then personal faith and belief, the natural byproduct is that we live a life that is pleasing to Him. And I will tell you that this is a representation of salvation. You're saved. I know the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. I serve by telling others about the Word of God. Why is these saved Christians silent? Because I will tell you, the command of God is to go into the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. That's not the person that stands in the pulpit. That's not the person that goes to school or gets paid to teach others the Word. Anyone who professes faith in Christ is a minister of the gospel. I question salvation without the three. Two is not enough. And we sit silent. This isn't my message. This is God's message. Any one of these three truths not found in a person who claims salvation deceives themselves. Salvation is simple as ABC. We acknowledge who Jesus Christ is. He's my Savior. Is He your Savior? A. Absolutely. No. Acknowledge. B. We believe in the finished work of Christ. We're focusing on the cross. Do you know what was accomplished on the cross for you and for me? And who are you going to tell? Who have you told, Christian? And see, we need to confess. We need to confess, Jesus, I need your help to get through this life. Is that your prayer? Every day? ABC, I'm done. I got my faith. I'm going home. I got to heaven. That's all I need. I go to church. I cut a check. I'm saved. Who did you tell? Question your salvation. The three must be active. It's admitting that we're not living our lives the way we should. We're going in the wrong direction because of sin. And it is only Jesus that can get us on the right path and keep us there. How do you stay on the straight and narrow? You're never going to make it on your own. I never make it on my own. I fail every time. I need you, Jesus, every hour. Think of this. Has anyone on the planet ever been born without the need of salvation? There isn't one on the planet, according to Romans 3:23. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. And I have met people who never sinned. How can that be? If by God's grace, you are a true follower of Christ here today, who told you about Jesus? And the sentence that keeps coming to my mind since I started writing this is, have you had opportunity to thank them? Because I have. And I can't imagine how that person felt. But I know how I would feel if somebody said, thank you so much for telling me about Jesus. Because I have a story I'm going to share with you. And it's not nearly as rejoiceful as saying, thanks for sharing Jesus with me. You changed my life. Back to Romans 10. Paul asks some questions that give a picture of how the process of salvation comes about. We read in verses 14 and 15. How then can they call on the one in whom they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You know, if you read your Bible, you will see that God chose to send out some pretty unlikely people to do His work. Are you familiar with those four guys that I remember on the Sea of Galilee? Andrew, James, John, there's one more. Peter. Oh, I love Peter. Yeah. Unschooled fishermen they were. How about someone with a speech impediment? How about, I can't speak. Moses. God chose young and old people like David, Daniel, and others. He chose people who were unwilling to go, like Jonah. When you read your Bible, you're going to see anyone in the day serving Christ has something in common. They responded to a call. We are called to preach Christ. Follower of Christ, child of God, Christian, however you want to title yourself. If we're claiming to be a follower of Christ, we're called to proclaim Christ as Savior and Lord. He's my Savior, but is He Lord of your life? That means you go to the right when He says go to the right. And you go to the left when you go to the left. And that's what we do. I go the wrong way all the time. And God still says, no, my child, walk this way. Talk this way. It's not just hearing the Word of God week after week. It's also communicating the valuable truth that's found in God's Word. I do it every week. It's my job. It's my privilege. And I will do it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And do you know how to communicate the gospel without using a word? This is an important truth. Let me tell you. I'll tell you what the church says, because this is recorded and they can't read it. It says what? Forgiveness and redemption. It's free. But this offer expires when you do. Forgiveness and redemption. When you're dead, if you haven't purchased it, you're done. Okay, so I go to Lowe's. And the guy at the counter, or the girl at the counter, takes my money, reads my shirt, and I walk out the door slowly so they can read, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." I didn't say boo. The shirt speaks volumes. I don't know how to share my faith. And what happens is people I don't even know say, "I love your shirt. Tell me about your shirt. Thanks for wearing that." And then the conversation starts. I don't go out with a recipe for how to share my faith. I'm just available and willing. So we don't just sit in the church. We communicate the gospel and what God's Word has to say. I believe this with all of my heart. I believe that we, listen, that's everyone here who has put their faith and knowledge in the power of Jesus Christ, has a personal responsibility to share God's Word. You're to be an active part of spreading the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, if you haven't experienced leading someone to Christ, there is no greater experience you're going to experience. It's wonderful. In Matthew 9, verse 37, Jesus says to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." And then immediately in verse 38, He said, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Is that your desire? Lord, where would you have me speak today? This is what we are to be doing. We always hear of churches that send out missionaries around the world to spread the gospel about Jesus Christ. I grew up in a church that had a world map. It had to have been 5 or 6 feet more tall, at least 16 feet long. There was one point and red strings going out all over the place. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's biblical, and it's a good thing. But even here at Christ's Little Topahawken Church, we support people that go into other countries to share the Word of God. Merits. And how about Edgar now? Sort of, kind of. Is it Ecuador? Nicaragua. To this I say, well done, church. We also support small ministries like Mercy Ministry. We do the Talpifong. We write checks for people that are in need. Kudos. But what would happen if each one of us would be obedient to the Word of God and be missionaries in our backyards? I don't know what to say. Buy a t-shirt. This isn't a suggestion. This is a command from God.
Oh, I believe God's Word.
Really? Oh, I'm saved. Good. Oh, I believe God's Word. Good. Do you share God's Word?
Well, no, that's pastor's job.
Verses 16 and 17 tell us, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? And he interjects, consequently, hey guys, pay attention. Faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the Word of Christ. It's in the book. It's in the book. It's in the book. Read the book. You sick of me saying that? Read it. When I read to you the words from the Bible, is it my words that have any impact on building your faith? No. I don't think so. My words will not change your life. Reading those words from my mouth will not change your life. You have to hear it. You have to believe it. And you have to live it out. If you pick up this book and the words printed on here, do these words change your life? Do they change your life? No, it is God's power that changes. But unless you're reading and hearing and believing and putting into practice, God's power is coursing through your veins, man. Thank you for agreeing. You know, the truth is, some are going to read these words or hear these words, and their life will not be changed. That's the sad truth. But then there are some that will hear these words or have them read to them, and their life will change. They will become a new creation because God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit are working together to bring knowledge and faith into the person that reads it. And then what happens is their life reflects what God's Word says. And I'll say that one step further. Their life will reflect what God's Word says to do. I'm not asking you to do this. God is. He just chooses to use my voice. Salvation comes from the Lord. There is nothing you're doing to get you saved. It is God's grace applied to you. And He wants to use everybody. He wants none to perish. It's what I believe. Paul says at verse 20, Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. That's what God has done for us. He has revealed Himself to you. Have you responded? To you. Have you responded? We're not seeking Him. And yet He reveals Himself to us. I don't know how it works. I'm so thankful that I was born in a Christian family and not in another religion, because my personality makes me devoted. If I was Catholic, I would be Catholic, because you wouldn't be able to change my mind unless it was the work of God. You believe that? He loved us enough to seek us out when we weren't looking for him. Walk this way. You talking to me? Okay, I'll follow you. He loved us enough to reveal himself to us when we didn't ask for him. That's what I just read. We didn't seek him, we didn't ask for him, and yet you guys say, and I say, we have him. He is. In verse 21, we read, but concerning Israel, he says, all day long I've held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. The truth is, just like Israel, we ran the other direction from him. We slapped his hands away, and we kicked him just like a five-year-old in the backseat of the car. Stop touching me. Stop touching me. Stop. Don't touch me, Jesus. Don't touch me. Go away. I want to be in my sin because it's comfortable and I know what the outcome is. I don't want to follow you or tell somebody because I'm scared. Because I can't speak. Moses. I don't want to go. I don't like those people. And you go anyway, and then God doesn't use the prophet. He uses a king. But the prophet was the messenger. Got the ball rolling. God uses broken, upside-down people to do great things. He's using me. Jesus invites us to come to him with open arms. And he loves us enough to turn us from the trappings of the world. I'm not going there anymore. That desire changes. Not because of you, because he's working in you. Aren't you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Yes. So surrender all and say, Lord, I can't make it through this day by myself. I need you. That's salvation. God saved us from our worst enemies. That's ourselves and the prince of this world. There are three things that separate us from the love of God. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Done. Simple story. Doesn't have to be that way. God brings us from darkness into the matchless light of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do you know the knowledge of Jesus Christ? What saves you? You believe God's word? You know God's word? Maybe it's in my notes. Trust and obey God's word. And you share God's word. I'm preaching to myself here. I don't know it all. Are you doing? Three of those five? Trust and obey is a gift. You have to believe it, you have to know it, and you have to share it if you're going to be a savior, if you're walking through salvation. Today, well, this church is officially sending you into your neighborhoods, into your workplace, Chris. I'm sending you into the workplace. Wherever you are at any given moment, this church today is sending you into the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because God's word says, how can they preach unless they're sent? You're sent! Because I said so. That's silly. If you can't do that, the very minimum you can do is invite people here to Christ Little Tapahawken Church so they can hear about Jesus and his love. We just sang about it, right? Yay. Who are you going to tell about Jesus' love? the almond car or house over there. Wow, they're all almond. The White House over there. How about the house with the smoke coming out of the top of it? They need to know. So what I'm about to share with you has impacted my life since I was 19 years old or so. I want to tell you the old story. I want to tell you a story about my friend Dan. We met in school. And for 3 years, I rode the bus to Votech for 90 minutes a day, 45 minutes in, 45 minutes back. Sat next to him on the bus. For 3 years, I sat next to this guy at break at Votech. That was another 12 to 15 minutes. I ate lunch with this guy for 3 years. That was 18 to 30 minutes, depending on when the bus arrived. I hung out with this kid 3 years. If there was a mathematician here, we could probably figure out the hours. And the hours over the course of 3 years is crazy. You know, during our senior year, we would, after school, work on our cars together if we didn't have to work and our schedules lined up. I had my Chevelle. He had his GTO. It was awesome. We swapped tires, secrets. And, of course, after we graduated from high school, we drifted apart. Isn't that a sad story? Well, here's the good part of the story. One night at church, my friend Dan comes in and sits right next to me in a pew. And you can imagine, sweet reunion, there we are sitting in the pew week after week. It was great. He started strumming his guitar for a youth group. We would go on youth group retreats together. After one of those retreats, he had the privilege of leading his mother to the Lord. And she got plugged into the church as well. Isn't that a great story? Yeah! Here's the bad part of the story. I remember the night vividly. My friend Dan asked this question. I remember exactly where I was standing in the sanctuary. I was on the right side, about a quarter of the way from the front. I was at the left-hand corner of this huge stained glass window, leaning up against a metal radiator, dressed in my engineer boots and blue jeans and black leather jacket. And this is his question. Jim, why didn't you ever tell me? I was saved at 5. I knew all this stuff. I knew the old story. I sung the hymns. I went to youth group. I went to summer camp. I went to winter camp. I did VBS. I didn't tell my best friend that he was going to hell. He told me. Who are you going to tell? One life impacts so many because I haven't seen him. That was like 35 years ago. I haven't seen him. I know if he walked through the door right now, we'd be best friends. Though. I know where that alarm's going. Right over there. That's how important the message is, too, because people are going to maybe not make it through that. I'm here today to tell you that it has never been more important to share that which you say you believe. Because there's people dying in this world without a Savior. I talked with someone recently. So they were hurt by the church. So they just turned their back on the church. Anybody that's not going to church is because probably the church hurt them. Because we're hypocrites. I believe it, I know it, is not enough. I believe it, I know it, and I share it. The truth of God's word is this: everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one in whom they've not believed? How can they believe in the one in whom they've not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? God's word. God said it, I believe it. That settles it for me. Romans 10, 3 through 15. Preach here doesn't mean necessarily my job or that person's job. It means we communicate the truth of God's word to anybody God lets cross our path. Preachers, if you're a follower of Christ, you preach. You know, you could put that, we could go back, and how can they believe in the one in whom they've not heard, and how can they hear without someone talking to them, and how can they talk to someone unless they're sent? There, that's much more easy. Talk to them about your Savior, your Lord, and how He's impacted your life for the good. The truth of God's word says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save him through Him. If you don't believe in God's own Son, you're condemned already. I didn't say it. God's word says it. The truth of God's word is that must be shared is 1 John 5, 10 through 12. I shared my testimony about Dan. God shares His testimony about Jesus. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because they have not believed the testimony of God. This is the testimony of God. Listen, class. God gives eternal life. The life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I'm not making it up. It's God's word, and it is true. The message we're to share by now should be familiar. John chapter 20, verse 21. These things are written that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. And that by believing, you may have life in His name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for having a VBS. Whoever picked that one, good job. It preaches. John 20, 31, thank you. I don't know what I said, but thanks for knowing. I'm a follower of Christ today because someone took the time to tell me about the love of Jesus, His story. And if you're a follower of Christ today, it's because of the same reason. Who told you about Jesus besides me? The question that remains is, what opportunities has God placed before you that you can be part of making followers of Christ? Because that's what we're to do. And that's what we're to be. Followers of, not Christian, followers of Christ. Christian means little Christ. We should reflect Him well. Followers of Christ that make followers of Christ, that in turn make followers of Christ. That's how it works. That's what we're called to be, and that's what God commands us to do.
I don't like that passage.
Will you be all God created you to be? Father, I thank You for this time that we spent in Your Word. And I thank You for Your grace. And Lord, I ask that You would go before us now as we eat food and fellowship together and learn more about You. I pray for these people that have come to visit us. I pray that they would fearlessly and boldly make known this gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that you use living and unliving things to communicate the gospel. So I thank you for this puppet ministry. I thank you for the people that have brought individual meals. And I pray that the food that we're about to eat physically would keep us healthy and strong to digest the food we've just eaten spiritually. Protect us from the evil one. Give us a boldness and the courage that only comes from you to communicate the gospel to every living creature. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.